To John, all right? John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd, all right? We're looking at Gospel of John, and we're going to touch on the I Ams. This is the one where I am the Good Shepherd, I am the door, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Again, John chapter 10 and verse 1. Jesus begins by saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out of his when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Okay, in this passage here, again, he's talking about who he is and that this is one of the I Ams. Again, I am the good shepherd, I am the door. There are several of them in John, and it's of significance and importance here. He begins by saying that he is the door and, you know, that the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings him out, his own sheep goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a little video, you could probably find it on YouTube somewhere, of a tour. And it was somewhere in Scotland or Ireland, I forget. I just remember a little bit of accent in it. And they were, this tour, the people were looking at some sheep in a field. And the shepherd was saying, "This one is Joe, this one's Harry," and so forth. And he said, "Why don't you go ahead and call him?" So the people say, "Joe, Joe," nothing, no turn, doesn't even get in the time of day, didn't he, just eating the grass. So the shepherd says, "Joe," and turns right around. And he used that illustration to say the sheep know his voice. You know, it's important we know his voice too. Can I get an amen? How do we know his voice? Through the word. You know, I remember the pastor telling me and the chaplain, and when I was in jail, he told me, the Christian hears two voices, you know that? One is God's, one is not. How do you know? There was an illustration R.C. Sproul gave when he was at a church that he was pastoring. And there was a situation where a woman was having an affair with another man, married woman. And so he found out about it, called her in the office and laid down the law and, you know, told her and showed her in the Bible, you know, this is wrong. Thou shalt not, blah, 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 you know, you're committing sin, you need to go home, pray about this. So he gave her the verses, she wrote them down, asked her to go and pray about it. They were going to meet next week, which they did. And he said, did you pray about what I asked you to do? And she said, "Yes, I did. And the Lord has given me peace to continue in this affair." Whose voice was she listening to? This is not hard. Yeah, it wasn't God's. It wasn't God's. Because God doesn't say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," but talk out of the side of his mouth and say, "But you're okay, Joe." You know, he doesn't do that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Truth is truth. And so, again, you got to know his voice. How do you know his voice? How well do you know the word? How does your Bible look? You know, a worn-out Bible or a well-read Bible is the sign of a well-fed soul. Can I get an amen? And the more you know the word, the safer you're going to be. Because remember, you're not just fighting one enemy or two. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it almost seems pretty unfair, three against one. Can I get an amen? But the Bible tells us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the more we know his word and his voice, the safer we'll be. He said in verse 5, a stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You know, I remember when I was young, I grew up in Brockton. Brockton, as you know, is nicknamed City of Champions. Two world boxing champions are there. But it was also known for something else. Anybody know? Shoes, you got it. Shoe City. There were shoe factories almost on every corner of Brockton. I mean, my first job was in a shoe factory. My mother worked in a shoe factory. And I remember my boss when I was 18. He was a JW, Jehovah's Witness, and I got the job, and he gave me one of his Bibles. He said, hey, you should read this. You know, when it was a New World Translation. Now, I didn't know that at the time. I wasn't even a Christian or anything, but I walked home and saw the Bible in the seat, started walking into the house, and the rubbish is right by the door. And guess where that book went? In the rubbish. Thank God. Because it was a New World Translation, which is really corrupt. It's, you know, they make it say what they want rather than translate it what it says. And God was protecting me because they will flee from a stranger. Even before as a Christian, God had his hand on me. And you. Can I get an amen? He chose us when? Before the foundation of the world. He had his hand on you. And you belong to him. So he goes on and says in verse 7, again, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, I got to tell you, when I went to college, I studied Greek and a little Hebrew, so I don't want to have to get in trouble. But Greek was really interesting. I did three semesters. I really liked it. It's a very easy language to learn. And what was interesting is, when I like, the way I preach, just so you know, my method of interpretation is what I believe, the only correct one, in my opinion, and that is the historical grammatical method. And that it means just what it says. Looking at the original words in the original languages at the time it was written. Because words change over time, just like in English. Can I get an amen? If you said get down in the 50s, that meant hit the deck. If you said get down in the 70s, you know, you would dance it. You know, words kind of change. It's the same thing in Hebrew and Greek. So that's the method I use. And when I look at the original languages and look at these IAMs, what's really interesting is we miss something. When Jesus says, I am the door, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection, I am the good shepherd, we just read, I am the good shepherd. Now, what it really says in the Greek is a little different. The word for I in the Greek, this is real easy, is ego. Sound familiar? Comes into English as ego. All right, that's the word for I. Now, the word for I am is a me. Now, in the original languages where this is written, what Jesus says in our manuscripts, our Greek manuscripts, is ego a me, the door. Ego a me, the good shepherd. Ego a me, the resurrection. What's he saying? I am the good shepherd. I am the door. Yeah, are you with me? A little more emphasis there. I don't know why it's not in there, but that's what they, when they translate the Bible, it's more emphasis to it. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no one will come to the Father except by him. Can I get an amen? Why is that? Because only he can take away our sin. He's the only one who can take our sin. Remember, it is sin that separates us. This is what we need to help the world understand as you're witnessing to people. You know, if you ask the average Joe on the street today, excuse me, sir, but if you died today, would you go to heaven? The answer is going to be, well, I think so. I mean, I think I've done more good than bad. You know, like it's a scale, you know. Most everybody goes with that because it's ingrained in us. You know, you do good, you eat all your supper, you get dessert. You know, you do good, you get to stay out a little later. You know, you do good, you get a promotion. You do good in school, you get a promotion. You do good at work, you get a raise. You know, so naturally, if you want to go to heaven, well, just you do good. Hopefully more good than bad. This is what people think. But it's not what the Bible teaches. Can I get an amen? It's not how much good you do. It's how do you get rid of the bad. Can I get an amen? Because that's what's going to keep you from getting into heaven. The thing called sin. And the bad news is you can't get rid of it. The good news is he can. You want me to sum up the Bible in one sentence? You might want to write this down. You ready? You can't. He can. Amen. That's end of it. That's it right there. That's if you want to make it real, real simple. You can't. He can. And people need to know this. So he says again, ego e me. I am the door and the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, when I was thinking about this robber thing, I got to tell you a story at the jail happened early on. I've been there 25 years, so you know. But I don't think I've ever shared this with you. There was a guy named Matthew, one of the first guys I met. I'm going back 96, 7 when I started. And he came to my jail for a little stop because he was out on parole and he violated. He was going back in. Now, what happened was the guy had gotten 25 years. And this is how it went. So he wants to see me. We go down to chapel. I say, hey, what's up? You know, I'm Chaplain Dan. You know, I'm Matthew, this and that. So what's going on? I violated parole. I got to go back and wrap up my bed. I said, how much time you got? He said, 25 years. I said, man, what'd you do? Did you kill somebody? And he said, nah. Safe cracker. I said, you crack safes? I said, tell me. Did they really put like the stethoscopes on and listen for the little clicks? He said, nah, C4. I said, what's C4? He said, you blow it up. I said, oh, yeah, all right. I said, all right. I said, so wait a minute. So you get 25 years for blowing up a safe? He said, no. I said, how'd you get into this, first off? He said, Danny, my father was a safe cracker. My grandfather was a safe cracker. My father was a safe cracker. And when I turned 16, I got my first pack of C4. I said, oh, man, this poor kid didn't have a shot. So I said, well, wait a minute. How'd you get 25 years for blowing up a safe? And he said, well, we were just kids. I was 18. I had a buddy. We cased a 7-Eleven, found out when the money would be there, watched when the girl went in to open the door to open it up. We followed her in. She turned the sign open. We turned it closed. Pushed her in the back room, threw her in the bathroom, locked her in there, and I went out and blew the safe. So I blow the safe, and they got this down to a science. You know, they've done a few jobs, Matthew has at least, and the deal is you blow the safe, you know, just how much time before the cops come. You get about 40 seconds, I think he said. And so you blow the safe, and then the other guy comes around the back with the car, and you open the door, the alarm goes, and you get to hit the road. So he blows the safe, opens the door, no car. He's waiting, no car. He's going, what's going on? He goes out back in, outside in the bathroom where the lady was, and he hears the guy in there, and the other kid was in there molesting her. So that's what happened. The other kid got life, 18, never see the light of day, and Matthew, because he was a part of it, he got 25 years. But that's because you get in with the wrong crowd, young people. You don't want to get in with the wrong crowd. Mom and dad say, stay away from this person. Believe me, stay away from this person, all right? So I thought about us. Do we rob? The Bible says that Christians rob. You know that? It's in Malachi 3, 8, and 9, 10. It says, God says, you have robbed me. And they say, the people of God say, how do we rob you? What are you talking about? He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Interesting thought. But he says, test me in this. It's the only time God says, test me. He doesn't really like to be tested. But the only time he says, test me is, you test me in this and watch and see if I do not open up the windows of heaven and bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Something to think about. So again, he says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. Again, verse 9, ego, a me, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He's the only way. Again, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I often share this in the jail with the guys because they relate to this. You know, they're familiar with stealing, killing, destruction, and so forth. And, of course, we're talking about the devil, Satan. And I think I've shared this with you, but do you know that 97% of all the people doing time, not just in my jail, but across the board, all over America, perhaps around the globe, 97% or 97 people out of 100 are in there for a drug or alcohol-related crime. If it was domestic, they hit their wife because they were drunk. If it was breaking an entry, they're trying to get money for drugs. If it was an armed robbery, as the 128 bandit, actually it wasn't armed robbery, he's just passing notes, by the way. That's why they only end up with 5-6 years. But it's always, the crimes were always alcohol, drug related. Everybody with me? There's only like 3% that are not, they're not doing it for drugs or alcohol. You know, it could be greed, a guy working in a bank, a hitman, leg breaker. You know, they don't really drink or drug. They get their money doing other things. But most are men. So when I ask them, when I read this verse, you know, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I said, what do you think he uses, guys? And they all agree. Alcohol and drugs. Because if you've known anybody who was on them, it'll steal all their money. They spend every dime they have. They'll even rob mom to get high. They'll steal all their money, and they'll destroy all their relationships. They'll borrow and not pay back, and borrow and borrow, and pretty soon no one wants to be around them. They burn all the bridges. And then it'll ultimately kill them. They'll overdose. But Jesus says, but I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And we're not talking about eternal life hereafter or living with God forever hereafter, though that's part of it. We're talking about life here and now. Can I get an amen? Here and now. You know, I became alive in jail when I got saved. When I read the Bible, and God delivered me in jail from smoking and swearing and drinking and fighting. And, you know, I realized in jail, looking at the bars, I realized here I am in jail and I'm free. I don't have to swear like these guys are all swearing. I don't have to fight like all these guys do. I don't have to do any of these things. I'm not a boy anymore, a follower. I'm a man. I can do what is right. That's what God did for me, and that's what I preach at the jail. And some catch it. Some catch it. And they're delivered. They experience salvation, deliverance. So in this passage here, again, he says again, verse 14, I am, ego a me, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. You know, when you're picturing the garden, don't picture Jesus fighting these guys. You know, I don't want to, you know, no. Let me tell you, if Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, He wouldn't have went. He wouldn't have went, believe me. And I don't care how many people there were there. He would have leveled them all. Can I get an amen? You know, he willingly went because he had to come and die for our sins. Can I get an amen? My father had a real hard time with this. When I got out of jail, my father, I went back to live with my parents, and he wanted a Bible, large print, which I got him. And every night after supper, we'd read the Bible together. And he had a really hard time with the Garden of Gethsemane when everybody left him. Because my father was old school. I am too, for that matter. You know, you never leave your friends. I don't care. I fought 7, 8, 10 guys with just another guy. You just never leave your friend. So my father had a real hard time with this. How did they leave him? How could they leave him, you know? How do you leave your friend, you know? And I was just a baby Christian. I hadn't been in no theological training yet or whatsoever. But I prayed, and God told me, gave me these words. I said, Dad, let's say me and you were there. And let's say me and you, back to back, we leveled all 30 of them. Now, what would happen then? Well, Jesus wouldn't have died, and we'd still be on our way to hell. Can I get an amen? You know, remember Peter tried to do him a favor. Remember Jesus said, you know, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men. I'm going to be beaten, whipped, you know, be killed. And Jesus said, that ain't happening. And you remember Jesus' response, right? Boy, I'm glad you're with me, Peter. You know, is that what he said? Yes, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, listen, pal, I came to die. And neither you nor your boys are going to stop me. See, he doesn't die and pay for the sins of the world. We burn forever. Everybody got this? Why did he come? Two reasons. One, to reveal himself to his creation. He put on flesh so we could see him and know him better than what he did in the past through prophets. But the second reason was so he could die. You know, God can't die. God can't lie. God can't sin. You always get everybody with this. Can God do everything? And they say, yes, no, he can't. He can't lie. He can't sin. He can't die. So he took on flesh so he could. Can I get an amen? And he took our beating and shed his blood to wash away some, many, most, all of our sins. Hallelujah. The only way you get into heaven is to be perfect. And the only way that's going to happen is if Jesus dies and pays and takes away all our sins. You know what the word forgive in the Greek is? Biami. You know what it means? Literally? To take away. Remember John said, behold the Lamb who takes away. Same word, forgives. Who takes away the sins of the world. That's the only way we're going to get in there. Is he's got to take away our sins. And I'm not talking about the past, just the past. We're talking about past, present, future. Because if he only died for our past sins, and now we got to be perfect, how many are going to make it? Yeah, this is not hard. That's the correct answer. None. None. The same grace that saved you is the same grace that keeps you saved. Can I get an amen? He's our only hope. He's all we have and he's all we need. And so that was the answer that I gave my dad, was that's probably why, you know, it was prophesied that they would leave. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And he doesn't want them stopping him from doing what he came to accomplish. And in the end of this passage, down to verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, we have a saying in jail, and I've said it before. Let's see if you remember this. It's been 4 years. No Bible. No breakfast. The second one is no prayer, no power. But remember, no Bible, no breakfast. How are you doing on that? I hope you're spending time in the Word every morning and letting God talk to you, because every time you open it, He's talking to you. And He's going to give you food for thought, something to think about that day, be it forgiveness, love, mercy, grace, whatever. He's going to give you something to think about. Even just thinking about Him alone is going to help you throughout the day, amen? Because things are going to happen. Things are going to happen in the course of a day. And it's good to know that when they happen, it's not just you, it's you and Him. And with you and Him, you can get through everything. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You need to underline that for us. When you meet a young believer who's having a hard time struggling with eternal security, believes he can lose his salvation, or someone who's been in the faith a while and they're going to the wrong church and being taught this, you know, just try to remember, Jesus says, I will give them eternal life. They will never perish. Now, for a little test here, if Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and then you got Pastor Joe the clown over here who says, oh, you know, you gotta walk the straight and narrow, and you gotta do all these laws, because if you do this, you know, you could lose your salvation. You gotta make a choice. Can I get an amen? Only one is right. And I'm gonna tell you right now where this bad boy leans. Whatever Jesus says, if He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, then never means, what does never mean? Never. Never. He goes on and says he will hold you in His hand, and no one will snatch you out of His hand. And He says, if that's not enough, me and you will be in my Father's hand. And again, no one, absolutely no one will snatch you out of my Father's hand. That sound like eternal security to you? Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, I got to tell you a story that happened in college. I went to Wheaton College and back in the 90s, and I had this one teacher that I liked, Dr. Phillips. He taught a lot of theology classes, and he was teaching systematic theology. We were in this lecture hall, and, you know, I had a couple classes with him. I liked him, and he was a Baptist, I was told, and I remember him making a statement one day. He said that he believed he could lose salvation. And I was like shocked. I couldn't believe what he had just said. And I raised my hand, jumped out of my seat, and I'm standing there with my hand up and thin, because you're calling on me. I got a question. And I said, Dr. Phillips, do you mean to tell me that you believe that people could lose their salvation? And he looked at me, he said, well, Yes, that's what I believe. And again, I'm shocked. I said, Dr. Phillips, I said, I understand people who know about Jesus can walk away. But you talking about someone who really knows Jesus could walk away? I mean, someone who can see Christ on a cross, beaten beyond recognition, shedding His blood to wash away all your sins. If that is not love, I don't know what else is. But do you mean to tell me someone could know and experience that kind of love and then walk away? I said, where do they go? I mean, what is better than that? There must be something better to go to, right? And he walked up to the podium, and he said, well, and he started stuttering. I'm like, ooh. And then he backed up a little bit and regained himself, his composure, and walked back up to the mic and said, well, and he started stuttering again. Now, remember, I'm a former inmate. I'm there with a scholarship, all right? So I'm an ex-con, and I'm sitting in the seat, and I'm starting to sink in the seat like, oh, boy, what are, you know. I'm going to lose my award here or what? But I just believe that. I don't understand how someone, a true believer, can walk away from that kind of love. I mean, where do you go? And I'm not saying someone can't backslide. I mean, that happens. But sooner or later, they come back. Can I get an amen? You know, you've convicted. Sooner or later, you just have to break down in tears. I'm sorry, God, I messed up. You know, and you get right with God again. But for someone to walk away and lose their salvation, it's like a true believer. It's like, I don't see that. I don't see that anywhere. I just, you know, how, you know, they, to walk away from that, that means there would have to be something better to go to. And don't get me wrong. Like I say, when we backslide, we think there's something better, and and the Bible says sin can be pleasurable for a season. And so we might think there is, but sooner or later, you're going to realize that was a wrong choice. Can I get an amen? And you repent, and you get back, and you get restored right with God again because, you know, it was a bad move. So I agree with the backsliding part, but I don't see how anybody could walk away or lose their salvation who knows that kind of love, because as Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, you and I who know these things, we need to share them. You know, there's a world all around us that is looking for truth. And me and you know him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. People are looking for truth. You know that a lot of people were lied to all their lives. You know that? I mean, starting in as little as can be. You know, Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, you know, meaningless minor things, but I mean, still not true. Go to school, big explosion, you came from monkeys. You know, they've been lied to all their life, and they're looking for truth. Can I get an amen? And me and you know the truth. And even like Paul said, woe to me, you know, if I do not preach the good news, the truth. You know, we have this truth that we have to share because we're only here for a little while. You know, and then, as the song says, we spread wings and fly away. We're only here for a little while. And then one day, God's going to call us home to a place where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, and God himself wipes away every tear from every eye. Can I get an amen? You know, that's home. But while we're here, we need to store up treasure in heaven. We need to be fruitful. Can I get an amen? How do we do that? We share the gospel, the good news. We do good deeds that open doors to share the good news. We're not doing good deeds to get to heaven. We just do them to open doors to share the gospel. And again, we're only here for a little while. But this is what Jesus said. Remember, the last marching orders from the King himself before he ascended into heaven was this. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How you doing? Are you sowing seed? Are you sharing the gospel? Sharing some verses with someone? Food for thought? Something to think about? You don't have to meet people and back the truck up and dump the whole load on them, you know, and go through the whole thing in one sitting. But, you know, are you planting seeds? And then every so often, do you water them? Because some plant, some water, but only God gives the increase. Amen? And that's all he's asked us to do, is to plant and to water, because he is the good shepherd, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will get to the Father by him. You know, I want to close with a little story that I thought was interesting. It was written by Billy Graham. And it would happen way back, like during the Depression or something. It was way, way back when. And he had a friend who, during the Depression, lost everything. I mean, he lost his job, his home, his family. I mean, everything. And all he had left was his faith. And he tenaciously held on to his faith. And as he was walking down the street, he saw some workmen working on an old church. And there was this man chiseling this triangular piece of stone on the ground. And he looked at him in the stone and said, "What are you going to do with that?" And the man said, "Well, you see that spiral up there in the opening on the doorway to the church?" He said, "You see that little middle piece there?" He says, "I'm shaping it down here so it'll fit in up there." And when he said that, the guy's eyes filled up with tears, because he realized that God had just spoken to him through this ordeal through which he was passing, that God was molding and shaping him down here so he will fit in up there. You ever feel like that sometimes? God allows things in your life to mold and shape you down here so we'll fit in up there. Can I get an amen? We're going to fit in. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believing in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, thank you that there is more to life than the here and now. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, giving us your Spirit, giving us your Word, and again, the strength and courage to share it, because people are being lied to everywhere. Everywhere, Lord. They just turn on the TV and they're lied to. Lord, help us to share the truth. I know that's what they're looking for. And we who have it must share it for your glory, for your honor, that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask this with thankful hearts in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.